opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
Well, good morning once again. This is Sue McClain, and today I have the special privilege of filling in for Carl and Linda Bott. And I do have a very special guest this morning with Kevin Cry. And today, though, if you're planning on heading out and about, looks like we could see, what, some rain this morning, Liam?
Yes. You're doing such a good job of reading the weather right now. You know, I always come in here half asleep, and I'm like, yeah, it's going to be 69 today. Might rain. And you're out here. Goodness.
Okay.
This is the best weather report we've ever had.
So today there's a chance of showers. This morning, then sunny by this afternoon. And Liam, we'll talk about that coming up. We'll take a look at your weather forecast a little bit later on. In the meantime, once again, Sue McClain filling in for Carl and Linda Bott on KCNR. And this morning I have a special in-studio guest, Kevin Cry.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing great.
That's fantastic.
So it's always good on this side of the dirt. So, yeah.
That's absolutely true. Once again, I'm so happy that you could join me this morning. And I know you've been very busy lately, and you are under a lot of pressure as well.
Oh, it's not really. I mean, it's you have to put everything in perspective, you know. So, like, pressure, whether, you know, I mean, people that are, you know, a single parent trying to hold two or three jobs, raising a couple kids, trying to keep their kids in sports, doing those kind of things, that's pressure. That's real pressure.
Okay.
And I don't want to sound trite, but seriously, that's how I look at a lot of this stuff, you know? I mean, my day-to-day right now is definitely different than I anticipated, but that's okay.
Now,
life throws stuff at you, and you just adjust.
Now, tell me about you, because a lot of people don't know. They only know you as Kevin Cry's supervisor. Tell us about you, because a lot of people want to know more about you.
Well, I've lived in Shasta County since the late 70s. I'm 46 and went to Anderson High School, a proud Cub, and went to Butte College for a year and then actually came back and finished at Shasta and Simpson. After college, just racing through this, youth pastored for a couple years, and then I started a training business, Upper Hand Athletics, and that's when I, of course, met yourself, and that probably was like in the early 2000s, training young athletes and coaching at the high school or anywhere from the elementary, junior high up through the college levels the last 20-some years, and now I'm a sports agent, I have a live event company, and I have a brick-and-mortar Ninja Coalition gym. But I think the greatest accomplishment I have is my three beautiful kids and my wife, Sarah.
That is wonderful. And I know you've helped out my family. Now, Kevin and I go way back. You may or may not know this, but my daughter was trained under Kevin, and she became an outstanding athlete due to his time and presence in her life and training. And she went on, after training through Kevin, and went to Sarah Lawrence College and was a catcher at Sarah Lawrence. And, you know, it takes so much, you know, for her to really step up her game. And you really helped her do that and move on. But you've done that with a lot of athletes.
Yeah, I mean, for me, what I enjoyed the most is just really sowing into other people's dreams. And it came into sports at that time. So working with young athletes who, you know, wanted either, and it wasn't so much just getting a college scholarship, because a lot of times, you know, parents, what they're paying, they could be just paying that towards college instead of to a trainer, but getting behind kids' dreams is something I think all of us as parents do. So I love that. And, you know, now I get to do that in a different capacity, like sewing into people, and that's really one of the reasons why I ran for supervisor, was because I felt like the people that were elected to represent, like me, guys like me, didn't exist. And you know, and again, that comes from a very narrow perspective of being at one board meeting at that point. So.
Okay. So, and your family fully backed you when you said, I'm running for office. What do you think? Was that a difficult decision for you?
The decision wasn't difficult for me. I think my oldest daughter, who just graduated college this last week, at 19, that's a proud dad thing. It just is. I hate to be like prideful about it, but she worked her butt off and academically and just wanted to get on with life. So I'm proud of that. But I think it was hardest for her and my wife initially running for office, just because it was a big unknown, and that's not something that I'd ever talked about. I mean, we went to a school walkout on October 18th, and within 3 weeks I was running for office, and I'd never even been to a board meeting. So it was just like, but my wife and I think all three of my kids, especially my oldest, know when dad sets his mind to something, that's kind of it, to a point, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think the struggle then became just, because you almost can never shut it off. There's always somebody that needs help or wants a minute of your time or sends an email, and I'm pretty responsive to a lot of that. So, you know, working with athletes in the past, we would have athletes come over because they, you know, flunked a test. And so that was going to hurt their transcripts. So they would be, you know, dejected. So a parent would bring them over to the house, and I would spend an hour or two with an athlete walking through my neighborhood or sitting on the porch. And that could wear on a family after a while. So now in politics, you know, no matter where we go, it's people have questions. So that's I think the biggest thing with my wife and my family is just dad's time.
Well, thank you so much for coming in once again and talking about your family, because a lot of people don't know your background and they just know you now as a Shasta County supervisor. Now, the committee mm-hmm. that wants to recall you, the Shasta County Citizens for Stable Governance, asserted its intention to recall papers last week. Now, why do you think they chose you?
Well, there's a few things. One of them is, I mean, this wasn't out of the blue. I mean, I knew even late in my election in October, and especially the second week in November when I was going to the clerk's office and they were still counting votes, there was a person outside that said, if you pull this out, we're going to recall you anyway. So, and that was said tongue in cheek. But at the same time, I knew, I mean, it wasn't like, you know, it was a landslide. I mean, my friends, we joke around on landslide cry, but it was 90 votes. It was, you know, 0.6%. So if people in the community aren't happy with the direction of this current board, I would make the most sense. And they've said that publicly. I mean, detractors or people that are supporting the recall have said that I won by the lowest margin of votes. So it makes the most sense to go after me first. And I don't know if that means they go after anybody else, but mm-hmm. for me, I think that's the nexus of it. And again, if you look at the recall petition, you know, 65% were registered Democrats, 23% or 24% were nonpartisan, and 13% of the people that signed the petition were Republicans. So, I mean, I'm just stating facts. I mean, I could show you the actual recall petition, and you could go and see who's registered in what party, and there's the information. And that's, I like to deal with things in facts, fact-based, and that's what that is. So when I say it's being really pushed by a group of liberal Democrats, I mean, that's the reality. And then, of course, if I was to be recalled, Gavin Newsom gets to pick our replacement. As a you know, new law is now in place since his attempted recall.
That, to me, I'm sorry, that's so far, far out that he has that decision making capability.
Oh, yeah, it shouldn't surprise you anymore. I mean, you've been in politics. Yeah, I mean, I've met right. a couple appointees, a supervisor appointees that he's appointed at CSAC at the new Supervisors Institute a few months ago, and they do not represent Shasta County at all.
Well, you know, there's been a lot of talk out there, and we hear the rumblings. How are you going, or what are you going to do about this effort? Like, in response to this recall effort, how are you going to go about, I guess, fighting the recall? Are you going to fight the recall, or are you just going to put yourself out there and just say, okay, here's the facts?
Yeah, well,
go from there.
Yeah, it's not so much about like fighting the recall. I'm going to focus on things that I can control.
And okay, that's what I wanted to know.
Yeah, and the things that I can control, the things that I ran on, and that I'm going to continue to do every single day. Like, I ran on supporting law enforcement. So since I've been there, the board has voted in 6 new PSO officers. I mean, I ran on supporting law enforcement, and we're supporting law enforcement. I ran on bringing new and different solutions to the homeless and unsheltered crisis. So we've done that. In the ECHO program, 28 people have been placed in temporary housing in the last 12 months. Well, a program that I brought forth as supervisor-elect with, of course, this is 100% Laura Birch and Sarah Brown and their team of mobilizing individuals to go out to camps. But 9 people have been placed by the stats they've provided me. 9 of those 28 have been placed through a program that I brought forward in 34 and a half hours. So 34 and a half hours is what it took to place 9. And then you have the other 19. And I don't know, they're running those stats for me now and those figures. So is it, you know, a couple hundred hours? Is it 500 hours? Is it 1,000 hours? Like, how much time and resources were spent to place 19 versus the 9 with the program I brought? So, you know, I ran on, again, that and have delivered on that. And then for me, when you talk about government corruption, and I ran on that as well, just wanting to be able to get in there and ask questions. So I'm asking a lot of questions, and the answers are slow to come sometimes. But I can promise you, and I can promise listeners, that there's a lot of questions I've asked, and I'm slowly getting some answers. And I think the longer this goes, the more we're going to see.
Perfect. Okay. Well, we're going to talk more with Kevin Cry coming up next. Once again, thanks for joining me. Sue McClain filling in for Carl and Linda Bott in Free Fire Radio on KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Jazzercise Redding Fitness Center would like to thank the Redding Rancheria for supporting small businesses in our community. With this grant, we were able to keep going so we could keep moving.
Pathways to Hope for Children would love to thank the Redding Rancheria. They've been involved with Camp Hope since 2012. Thank you from Pathways to Hope for Children to the Rancheria for all you do.
Redding Rancheria. Proud to play our part.
Hi friends, RC with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Esteban Carreras Chupacabra, 10th anniversary. A medium to full-bodied gem. The 10th anniversary comes wrapped in an oily San Andres leaf. Nicaraguan filler and binder round out a beautiful complex smoke. With notes of cocoa, pepper, nuts, and earth. Get yours today, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Goldleaf Nursery is back open and stocked up. Goldleaf Nursery wants to help you grow your own eatable groceries. Begin with the sweet taste of fresh fruit from fruit trees, blueberries, and strawberry plants. And now start preparing your garden. We have a huge selection of vegetable and herb plants, including flavor-filled heirloom varieties you can't find at the store. And we know a thing or two about this because we've been growing veggies since 1975. Spring has sprung, and it's time to add color to your landscape. The nursery is blooming with azaleas, clematis, phlox, candy tuft, perennials, and annuals. So saturate your landscape with color. Add yet another dimension to your landscape with statuary. We just received our new statuary order. Several different bird baths, fountains, and stepping stones. Come by and check us out at 6186 Churn Creek Road, a quarter mile from Airport Road. We're open Tuesday through Saturday.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle. From your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between, we make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary. You just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You get to enjoy a free beverage with free Wi-Fi and earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that is a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palisadro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Shout out to Redding Rancheria. Appreciate you guys for all your help. With the help that you guys gave us, we were able to stick around, retain some of our employees, and make sure all the customers got what they needed. Thank you, guys.
Hi there. Us here at the Post Office Saloon would like to thank the Redding Rancheria for supporting us and our community through the COVID pandemic.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com. Hi there, and welcome to Free Fire Radio. This is Sue McClain of the Sue McClain News Hour, filling in for Carl and Linda Butt. I have the privilege. They're out this week, and I can't help but smile because this is so much fun. I like this view in here. This is so nice. And today, I have Kevin Cry in the studio, Shasta County Supervisor Kevin Cry. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
You bet.
I know you've got a very busy schedule these days.
Well, yeah. So does everybody.
Well, and today we're just talking about his life. We talked about his career, and now we're talking about his performance as a Shasta County Supervisor. And a lot of things are going on with the Shasta County Supervisors right now. There is a committee to recall Kevin. And there's also, how is MyPillow, the founder, involved with you? Now, tell me about your trip to meet MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell.
So, okay.
Like, how did that happen?
Well, so let me back up to right before the break. We were talking about the different things that I've kind of focused on and done.
Right.
And then for me, so I didn't bring up the voting system vote. That wasn't something that I sponsored or brought forward. But like every single decision I make, I'm going to do the research and do the work and make the best decision that I can live with for me. So in this process of the changing voting systems or the Dominion vote, as that came up, it was really, really hard to get any information. In our county clerk and Kathy and Joanna and John and Mary and everybody at the clerk's office, they're really, really, really great people. I was wanting to ask questions that were maybe just bigger than just one county or one election. Now, I hyper-focus on Shasta County, but this is one thing that as I asked more questions, not necessarily locally, but even just statewide or across other counties, I was constantly getting stonewalled. And I wasn't getting answers, or I wasn't – it was a lot of deflection. So as we move towards this, again, being an agent, I have no problem reaching out to different people. I mean, I've reached out to GMs of baseball teams or professional sports franchises, you know, owners of shoe companies, and a lot of times I can get these individuals on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
So with Mike Lindell, I just literally – reached out to see if I would be able to contact him and just get some information about some of the work that he's done. And I've also I've also reached out to many other people that are opposite Mike Lindell. But what I learned the tough lesson about is such a level of transparency. And I will never not be transparent or honest about it. But for Mike Lindell, I traveled back to Minnesota. I spent about 3 hours roughly with him, spent as much time as I could downloading as many contacts, as many different people that I could that could help me understand voting just in general of all the different machines, ESNS, Dominion, Hart, etc. And this process really is like 5% or 3% Mike Lindell. I mean, it's not – I don't consult his advice for anything anymore.
Uh-huh.
Would I consider him a friend? Absolutely. But we're, we're not. Yeah, I don't. It's one of those things that if I picked up the phone and texted him or called him, he'd pick up. But it's not. You know, there's nothing else there. People want to make something more of that than it is. I mean, it's like Bobby, Owens, the old GM of the Giants. Like, I'm a Dodger fan. and I spent some time with GM Owens at, you know, at a period of time. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so what? I mean.
Well, and it seems that the public wants to know, you know, what's the deal? What's the inside? Who paid? And,
yeah,
you know, and it's kind of like, okay, you reached out, he reached back.
Yeah, well, and that's another good point. So as far as paying, so there's been a couple very small little things that total, you know, less than $2,500 of things that I've spent as a supervisor, which is like pales in comparison. And when you look at travel schedules, travel itineraries, travel invoices or reimbursements, it's absolutely like almost nothing. But what I'm doing or what I've done, I've written the checks. I have to drop them off actually to Susan Wilson and Jen over at Youth Options. But I'm donating the money that I spent to a nonprofit for children that I sit on the board of, Youth Options. They do the Mud Run. Great, great organization. Because to me, it's not worth the, you know, it's not, it was like, I followed county protocol every single step of the way. I went and got my trip approved by the CEO and county council. Doesn't matter. No good deed goes unpunished. So I do exactly what I'm asked to do anytime I want to do anything. And so, again, public perception, that's fine. I mean, I don't care. It's not that I'm like wealthy and like $2,500 is nothing, but I don't want to make it about wasting taxpayers' money. So I'm donating that trip cost. So no one can say that, you know, that's some kind of thing that I did as a personal, you know, pet project or something.
You know, so many people think, you know, we're bleeding the county, you know, the supervisor's spending so much money, but you just explained that. You just said, hey, here's what's happening. Here's where the money's going. And I like that you did that because I haven't heard that.
Yeah, well, there's actually, and I'm going to save it because we have a department that's actually doing internal audits that I want to see us put more people on that team. And I'm excited for those results to come out. I'll just leave it at that.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's great.
Absolutely.
So do you think the cost for hand counting votes was overblown?
I don't think I know. I know it was overblown. I know it is overblown. And that's the, you know, that's where we are right now, is we're in this process of creating a new voting system, which I get, but this is where time's going to tell. And this is where I believe the recall committee wants to just jump on this one topic, because it's really the only vote that they're hanging a lot of that on. And again, I voted because we voted to change voting systems. They wanted 7 new employees. I was the lone dissenting vote that said, no, like, I don't want to move forward with 7 new positions yet. Let's flesh this out more. And that's part of the process that I'm, again, didn't ask for this to be brought forward, but I'm going to do the work to make sure, like, why are we adding 7? Let's go through really with election code and the legal process, because there are other counties that are using volunteer precinct workers. And by election code, a volunteer is allowed. And if a volunteer is allowed, that's a lot cheaper than a minimum wage individual or even a stipend person. So if we have to use a stipend person, that's fine. Let's use as few stipend people as possible. And, you know, and there was another group that came and said, hey, if we had X amount of people volunteer and we'll give the stipends back. Now, we can't as a county say, hey, we're going to pay you a stipend, but you have to give it back. Like, we can't do that. But if a private organization wants to come forward and they say, hey, look, you have to pay people, so pay our group or pay this group. And again, I don't want anything but everyone to feel like their vote's counted. And I don't know why we're fighting that. Like, I want every single person. And that was apparent to me as I walked neighborhoods throughout my campaign. It wasn't something that was very cut and dry, or it wasn't even along party lines, so to speak. There were people that were, you know, Democrat, Republican, Independent, Green Party. I remember a Green Party person. You know, so I think I don't know why that's such a point of contention, wanting free and fair elections.
Okay, once again, this is Sue McClain filling in for Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. Special guest this morning, Kevin Cry, getting a real insight on, you know, what's happening within the supervisors, his personal feelings, and what is really, truly, you know, the grit of, you know, it kind of goes against what we're hearing. Well, and so I really like,
well,
like
of course it does.
Hearing it, you know, because a lot of this is news to me.
Well, a lot of people sensationalize a great deal of stuff. And that's truly what I've learned. If I've learned anything about this process in politics, is if I can't see it, taste it, smell it myself, I'm not believing it. I mean, even like you talk about AI, you know, and how they can voice manipulate things now and how they can, and we've always been able to Photoshop pictures. But one of the creators of AI, just read an article this morning that basically the gentleman is getting out and he says, this is so dangerous. He said, now, because you're not going to know what to believe at all anymore, because they can make it sound and look exactly like, you know, they want, just like a movie. But they said that the technology exists now where you're not going to know what to believe. And I'm already there. Like I've already seen, I mean, you know, like I've trained kids in this area a really long time. And now there's people that I've known for years that, they're just like, hey, did you do this? I'm like, well, you know, I didn't do that. They're like, okay, well, I heard. I was like, well, stop reading and stop believing that stuff. Call and ask me. And that's why I tell people, go to the source.
Right.
And that, you know, and that's kind of, I mean, if we're going to segue into yesterday's board meeting, like, I'm sorry, go ahead.
We are.
Okay.
We are. And we're going to wrap this segment up. Once again, Sue McClain filling in for Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. The time is 7:31. And coming up next, too, we will be talking about the strike involving the UPEC 792. And this is going on at least through the 12th. So details.
Yeah, I'll be looking forward to talking about that.
And more.
Hi, this is Cindy at Laux Landscape Supply. The sun is out just in time for our spring sale and your chance to save big on your home improvements. May 5th through the 14th, Triple 15 fertilizer is on sale for only $29.99 for a 50-pound bag. Have you tried our Garden Power soil yet? It will be only $51.99 a yard. 3/4-inch Cascade Rock is on sale for only $39.99 a yard. Been considering a pond? All products to build your new water feature will be 15% off. Pool sand for your above-ground pool is now only $31 a yard. Installing new or replacing your existing sod? Laux Landscape Supply will build a package customized with the right soils, sod, and fertilizer to make your yard the envy of the neighborhood, all while at sale prices. Whether you pick up or we deliver, we have the tools and equipment to take you through your project from start to finish. The spring sale at Laux Landscape Supply is May 5th through the 14th. Check us out on the web at LauxLandscapeSupply.com. Give us a call at 378-2220 or just come see us at the intersection of Dersh, Churn Creek, and Airport Road. Laux Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Here's a little jingle from the Thule Kids.
You can play it, you can pause it, you can skip it, you can stop it with a hop. When the hopper takes over your commercial, the hop with the hop. Where the apps are the cool and the music is the tunes with the hop. All the cats and chicks can get their kids with the hop. Let's go!
Thank you for calling B&T Satellite at 241-3474. That's 241-DISH.
Hi, this is Doug Tooley. Are you missing Newsmax? Call me because I make TV easy and I can get it back for you. My phone number is 241-3474. In case you didn't hear that, that's 530-241-3474. Or visit us at 1007 Dana Drive, Reading, California. Check us out on the internet at btsatellite.com. Shasta County's only DISH Premier retailer. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com. Hi there, this is Sue McClain of the Sue McClain News Hour, filling in for Carl and Linda Bott today. It's just great to be here this morning. Thank you for tuning in. They will be back next week, so please, planning on joining them once again. And this morning, I have the pleasure of speaking with Kevin Cry from the Shasta County Board of Supervisors, who is kind of in the spotlight recently due to an effort in Reading for a recall. And it's almost, in my opinion, you haven't been there long enough for this to happen, but you never know. I mean,
yeah, well, I mean,
things happen.
And there's a lot of hypocrisy to that, saying that I've cost the county millions of dollars, which that hasn't happened at all. We're in the process of that. I mean, last year they passed a $600 million budget without even so much as a peep or, you know, a bunch of questions. And we're talking about, considering, or we're going down the road of changing voting systems. And there are possible extra costs, and those aren't even yet to be determined yet. There's some figures out there, but I believe they're not correct. And, it's comical because a recall is going to cost well over $1 million with money raised. It's going to cost the county. I believe the last recall of Supervisor Modi was approached $800,000. So, you know, it's comical when people talk about, you know, the financial part, and nothing we've done right now has cost the county untold millions of dollars. It's speculative at this point, and we're working through that.
There we go. There we go. Hey, Kevin, I want to touch on something, and because it's happening now.
Mm-hmm.
The Shasta County Board of Supervisors, you had a hearing last night in an effort to reach an agreement with the United Public Employees of California, a 792 union. Now, tell me about that, what they're asking for and what you guys are offering.
So here's what I'll say. You want to talk about the board meeting last night and the hearing? I'm not sure how much I can disclose, because I don't want to get anything from closed session confused with this. But here's what I'll tell you from the board meeting last night.
Okay.
You know, they're seeking a 15% raise. We came back with a last best and final offer of 2.5 with some other ancillary items. And being at impasse, one of the things one of the public speakers said yesterday was, you know, and they just kind of lobbed it out and said, hey, you know, we'd be willing to sit down with a couple supervisors and see if we can't come to an agreement. And I had said this back in a meeting like in January, which was really tough for me in government, was you see real problems, especially when it's involving people, you know, not just a policy or some legislative piece, but, you know, an actual, like, a relational breakdown. And that's tough for me as an elected official to just sit back and say, okay, well, other people got to handle it. And I get that. You got to stay in your lane. People have their different strengths. But one of the things that I do for a living is negotiate. And I bring people to the table together to work on. And I do this with school districts. I do this with Fortune 25 companies, with the athletes and the different entertainers I represent. So I'm very familiar with this. And so in the public comment yesterday, a gentleman said, hey, you know, we could have a couple of supervisors sit down. So I brought that up. I brought that up to our counsel, Ross, and we discussed it, and we wound up going into closed session, which I can't talk about what we talked about in closed session. But when we did come out, and I made a motion to put this on an agenda to talk about forming an ad hoc committee that would meet with UPEC, and then, of course, their attorney and our attorney, but really sitting across, like, from the people that we're trying to help, and the people that, I mean, they are. Workers are the backbone. And, again, for me, and you could ask all my employees, but, I mean, I work for my employees. They don't work for me. And there's it's a huge paradigm shift for some, but for me, I'm never going to expect my employees to care as much as I care with my personal business. And for, I think, UPEC, I think a lot of them just want to be heard. And I think not just want to be heard, but they want to be compensated fairly. And I think, again, I think our negotiating team probably does a great job, and I'm sure their negotiating team does a great job, but I think we have to try something different because what we're doing right now clearly isn't working. So I look forward to that next board meeting talking about forming an ad hoc committee. And, you know, it may not happen, may not pass. But, again, for me, and this is why I would encourage anybody just to start looking at running for public office. Like, get involved. Like, get involved. Understand the process. Understand where the breakdowns are and try and make a difference. Because I think that's the only thing that's really going to save and put our county on this path of healing and just our country in general is just for average people. You know, your average Joe or Jane stepping up and bringing different solutions that haven't been done before. Because I think that's what it's going to take.
Absolutely. Now, it appears the union is asking for a 15% increase in wages and benefits. And the county offered a 7% raise spread over 3 years, 2.5% the first 2 years, 2% the third year of the contract. Now the strike has impacted some county services, including Health and Human Services, which apparently had to close their offices at Anderson Enterprise and Breslauer Way, along with a mobile customer service center for Medi-Cal and CalWORKs. CalFresh was also impacted, and WIC offices are closed with the exception of Anderson and Enterprise offices. Now, personally, I believe this is only temporary. And I believe that you all will come to an agreement. But, you know, the thing to remember, too, is, as you mentioned, you know, these people have families. And all we're seeing is, you know, inflation going through the roof. Everything costs more. You go put gas in your car and it's so much more. You go to the grocery store.
But inflation's not the county's fault.
No, it is not.
I mean, and that's you know, one thing I'll definitely delineate and speak on. I mean, it's tough. I get that. You know, I understand that. You know, I have employees, and as cost of living goes up or people's rent gets raised, you know, you still have a budget and you still have, you know, for me in the private industry, I have so much money for certain positions, and that's what it is. But, you know, so I'm not deaf to that, but I also, I mean, there's two sides to that. And that's where, again, in the negotiations of this process, we'll see what happens. Yeah. Again, for me, I've always said, if you want the same results, do what you've always done. And, I have a talent agency in Redding, California. I mean, I represent some of the best athletes in their sports ever. Out of Redding. So I don't like to be told what we can or can't do. Like, I just don't like that.
Sounds good. Hey, we do have a caller on the line. We've got Nick on the line. Nick, we don't have a whole lot of time because we're getting ready to head into a break. But thanks for your patience. Now,
I'm not clear on exactly what the union wants. I've read in the paper that they want 15% over 3 years. I've read in the paper that they want 15% now. And right here it says that the union wants a one-year 15% increase. Do they want 15% this year and then renegotiate next year? Could you just clear that up? Thank you.
Yeah, I think what the union wants is they want – I mean, ultimately, this is what I'll boil it down to. I think what the union wants is they want to be in what they see is treated fairly. I think that's what they want. I don't even think it's really about a number personally. I think it's about feeling like they're heard and feeling like they're valued. And that's what I'll say. And I've spoken to two or three individuals that a couple I've known for quite a while that are striking right now. And then I met Jamie actually yesterday, just leaving the chambers. So again, I look forward to the next board meeting, and I would just encourage everyone to support our workers because they are the backbone of our county and all the services that we offer.
Excellent. Okay. Well, they are picketing in downtown Redding, and this is in front of the county administration building on Court Street. Now, this is the UPEC 792, so if you're driving through downtown Redding, this is what's happening. The Board of Supervisors are working with the union, trying to figure something out. And this morning, I do have Kevin Cry with me. I'd like to thank you once again for coming in. And this is Sue McClain. Thank you for the phone call, too, Nick. I really appreciate it. So stick around. Once again, interviewing Kevin Cry this morning from the Shasta County Board of Supervisors. This is Sue McClain filling in for Carl and Linda Bott on KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
The grand facade so soon will burn. Without a noise, without my pride, I reach out from the inside.
It's rodeo time. 75 years of bucking by the river. Reading Rodeo celebrates 75 years with four action-packed nights of riding, wrestling, wrangling, and roping. Wednesday night is Native American Night by Reading Rancheria. MD Imaging brings you Family Night Thursday. Friday is tough enough to wear pink with Pendleton whiskey and block beverage. Sierra Pacific closes out with Saturday's Armed Forces Night. Reading Rodeo, May 17th through May 20th. Get your tickets now at readingrodeo.com.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at ShastaCollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at ShastaCollege.edu.
Each year, millions of older adults suffer injuries from a fall. One out of five falls results in life-threatening injuries, such as broken bones or head trauma. Many falls are preventable. PSA 2 Area Agency on Aging announces the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program, funded by the California Department of Aging. This no-cost program's mission is to reduce the number of debilitating falls suffered at home by older adults and persons with disabilities. If you are 60 and older, or persons with disabilities of any age residing in Lassen, Modoc, Shasta, Siskiyou, or Trinity counties and are at risk of falling or being institutionalized, this program may be able to help. The Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program enables older adults and persons with disabilities to live independently and safely in their home environment for as long as possible. Contact PSA 2 Area Agency on Aging at 842-1687. That's 842-1687 to learn more about the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program.
Locally owned and operated for 27 years, La Cabana at 1335 Market Street invites you to stop by and enjoy authentic Mexican cuisine for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Open 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday, closed on Sundays, La Cabana serves traditional dishes, homemade chili rellenos, carne asada, and carnitas. Dine in or take out. La Cabana, 1335 Market Street in downtown Reading. Call 530-242-1915. That's 530-242-1915.
KCNR 96.5 FM AM 1460. You can also hear us around the world at KCNR1460.com. Hey, thanks for tuning in. This is Sue McClain from the Sue McClain News Hour, filling in for Carl and Linda Bott this morning. And I have the privilege of having Kevin Cry here from the Shasta County Supervisors this morning. Once again, glad you are tuned in and glad you were here, Kevin. Now, we have talked about quite a bit. We talked about things that are going on. And now let's move on to the good things.
Okay.
Okay.
It's all good.
I mean, it's great that you have a positive twist on life and being a supervisor.
I don't think it's a twist. I mean, we live in a great county. We live in a great country. I mean, our country right now, like a lot of the world, is fractured because I think it's a lot of people that have just not paid attention to things as simple as local politics and local school boards.
Right. And, you know, not only that, though, I mean, there's good and there's not so good. And it's a hard job.
Yeah.
You have a hard job as a supervisor because you can't make everybody happy.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just a tough job. Now, I want to know what else is in the works. Let's hear some good stuff.
Okay, so in terms of just life in general,
as a supervisor.
Well, I'm really excited about there is a program at the state level called At Home, and it's a program to combat homelessness, mental health, drug addiction, etc. There's also a group led by a gentleman named Robert and a gentleman named Paul. That they're looking at bringing something very similar, if not the actual Other Side Academy. And again, I don't think the Other Side Academy is the end-all be-all program, but I do believe people that have an opportunity to work and provide for themselves, I think there's a lot of dignity in that, and I think that's a program that would do very, very well in Shasta County. And with it, there's vocational opportunities and businesses set up very much like the old Salvation Army thrift stores where individuals would live above, you know, in apartments and be in drug treatment but then work during the day at the thrift store. And for me, if there was a restaurant or various service organizations that I knew were providing jobs to individuals that were, you know, trying to pull themselves out of poverty or trying to stop, you know, a generational predicament, I guess you'd call it. I mean, I would support those businesses, I mean, constantly, because that's what I think we have to do. I think one thing we've done as a country is really we're a lot more cognizant of where we spend our money. Doesn't matter, you know, if you're getting your tires rotated or you're buying coffee. I think people now are really intentional about where they spend their hard-earned dollars, especially with inflation now. So I think the Other Side Academy would be something that would do some really, really great things here in Shasta County. So I'm excited about that possibly coming here for sure.
Wonderful. Okay. And what other changes or improvements do you foresee in the future for Shasta County?
Well, I know that the jail is something that we're still rigorously working on, the need for more jail beds. And, you know, California continues to, you know, decriminalize crime. So it's going to be important for us to be able to look ahead 10, 20 years, but able to do it fiscally responsible. So, you know, that's something, even though that we voted one of our very, very first meetings, it's still something that's very relevant. And there's also the relocation of the casino on I-5 and Wind River. I mean, I think that's going to be something very exciting for the community as well. So, again, I ran on supporting them, and I did support them. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to and like you just said, there's a lot of positive things going on in Shasta County, and I'm excited about a lot of them, you know. One of the upcoming things I have is I do have a fundraiser on May 18th, you know, and we talked at the break about just how many things can be said, and it's hard to track a bunch of things down and really get facts out there. So if individuals want to support me or do support me, they can go to my Facebook page. Currently, we're setting up a website, but they can go to Vote Kevin Cry on Facebook or they can go to votekevincry.com. And there will be information there about May 18th. It's going to be at the Wind River Event Center. Doors open at 4. Dinner starts at 6. It'll be a really good time. And it's going to be important for people to understand, you know, what we're really getting done. There's a lot of Republican groups supporting me, even people from outside the area. You know, assembly people or different offices that have reached out personally and said, hey, we really support what you're doing. We're thankful for what you're doing. And again, you know, for me, this really boils down to, you know, faith, family, and country. You could say county, but For me, again, I just can't stress enough. If you want to get involved, think about running for a school board, running for city council, running for a supervisor spot. Get involved. If you've never been involved, there's no better time than now.
Right, and attend the meetings. If you want to hear from the horse's mouth, go to the meetings. Ask questions.
Absolutely.
And we do have a couple callers.
Okay.
You ready to take a couple calls? Okay, we've got Stones on the line. Good morning.
Hey. I'm going to go quick. I'm going to go quickly. You know, tough times are coming in the economy. Butte County last fall cut some of their county fire budget. The reality is this next budget cycle, if everybody's paying attention, we actually should be freezing county spending or reducing county spending. I was a government employee, state, federal, and local for decades. The county, the union, any union public sector, and unfortunately too many of the public employees, they feel entitled just because they're a government employee. This living wage thing, it's a non-starter. But, and you know what? Real quick, Kathy Allen went to Arizona two times on the public dime. Nobody has demanded answers from her. Well, actually, they have. I have. And she has still to this day refused to explain why she went. And what did Kevin do when he explained? He explained it immediately, what he went, why he went, money spent, and everything else. And last thing, I'm renaming the committee to for stable government. I'm renaming them to Committee for Status Quo Government. Have a good day, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the phone call. We appreciate it. And I believe we have one more phone call this morning with Donna. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. What brings you to call?
Well, it was my understanding that if Kevin Cry was recalled, that the governor would of California would replace him, would choose the replacement. And so my question was, you know, what can we do to support him?
So, yeah, that's a great question, and thank you for calling, Donna.
Thank you, Donna. Have a great day.
I would, again, May 18th, I'm going to have a fundraiser, because one of the things is about getting information out, and it's about getting information to specifically District 1 voters out. But if you want to send me an email, you can always send me an email, my county one, but my personal one would be kevin@votekevincry.com. You can send me that, and I can make sure I get you a flyer. There will be information at my Ninja Coalition gym at the mall, and then there will be some as well at Jones Fort. So between the two locations, you can come and sign up, and, yeah, that would be great. I mean, I welcome all the support. And again, you don't have to be just a District 1 voter to come out and support the election the fundraiser, because again, as a board, we vote for the entirety of Shasta County. So if you like what we're currently doing, Shasta County is conservative, and I think it's really, really important we keep it conservative and we don't let a very left-leaning governor appoint or any kind of replacement. And, you know, Sacramento politics have no business in Shasta County, like zero.
Wonderful. Okay.
Thank you, Donna.
Thank you, Donna. Once again, Kevin Cry having a fundraiser coming up on May 18th at Wind River Casino. And you can support Kevin Cry by attending. Doors open at 4 o'clock, dinner at 6. And once again, where are tickets available?
You can go to my Ninja Coalition gym at the mall, or you can go to Jones Fort and pick up a flyer. Yeah, and it's going to be very limited in terms of there's only 450 seats. We do expect it to probably sell out. We have a lot of great raffle items and auction items already, and if you're looking to, you know, donate anything towards that, that would be awesome. And you could give us a call or stop by either shop to do that.
Perfect. Okay. Well, we've got less than 2 minutes.
Okay.
And is there anything that you want to add before you head out this morning?
Oh man, I wish I had a great joke or something like that. No, for me, I'm just really appreciative of this station. And I'm appreciative of the station. Of course, I have my show on Sundays, live with Kevin Cry. That'll be this Sunday at 8 a.m. on every other Sunday. Poke the Hornet's Nest is the other Sundays. But I'll be on this weekend, and I'll be discussing some of the same stuff. And I'm going to bring on a couple of guests that I think people are going to be interested in. And, again, I'm really thankful that, Carl and Linda and yourself invited me to come in. And I think it's important. If you have any questions about anything, go to the individual. Go to the individual, ask them point blank. I think that's what's getting lost in our society is too much hearsay.
Wonderful. Well, thank you once again for coming in and joining me this morning. This is Sue McClain filling in for Carl and Linda Bott. It's been Free Fire Radio. A pleasure having you in, Kevin Cry. Once again, he's got that fundraiser, Wind River Casino, May 18th. Doors open at 4. And in the meantime, stick around. I've got RPD coming in at the 8 o'clock hour. We'll take a look at your weather forecast, and it looks like, possible rain this morning, sunshine by this afternoon. And thanks for listening to KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. The Russians are out with a video purportedly showing a Ukrainian drone attack on the Kremlin. Russia claims it was a failed attempt by Ukraine to assassinate President Vladimir Putin. Ukraine, though, denies the allegations, calling the Russian claims and the video a trick. His state, on the front lines of the southern border crisis, Texas Governor Greg Abbott says President Biden's deployment of 1,500 active-duty troops to the border will do nothing to stop illegal immigration. Abbott says a troop's primary mission will be to do paperwork, and it's only a three-month deployment. The governor has deployed 10,000 Texas National Guard troops to the border to, in Abbott's words, fill the gaps created by Biden's reckless open border policies. And three Republican-led House committees have crafted legislation designed to address the surge of illegal immigration under the Biden regime.
In a joint statement announcing the combined package on Tuesday, the leaders of the three House panels said, quote, our committees have put forth legislation to roll back the harm this administration has caused our country.
Correspondent Edwin Mora on Capitol Hill. An illegal immigrant accused of fatally shooting five people in Cleveland, Texas last Friday night has been captured. The FBI says 38-year-old Francisco Ortefesa was found just a few miles from the crime scene, hiding in a closet beneath some laundry. And since that arrest, the local sheriff says Ortefesa's wife has also been taken into custody. The man charged in the deadliest anti-Semitic attack in U.S. history has lost a bid to get the death penalty removed as a possible punishment. Robert Bauer is accused of gunning down 11 worshipers at a Pittsburgh synagogue in 2018, jury selection now underway at his federal trial. Watching Wall Street, the Dow is down 39 points, with the Nasdaq trading 32 points higher. More on these stories at townhall.com.
People ask me sometimes, Lance, I'm worried about my finances and I feel bad because I shouldn't be worried, right? I realize that inflation is going to be eating up money. I've got to do something to get around this crazy stock market and Biden's spending spree. Gold has, since the beginning of time, been the resource that God's people have relied on. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, is what the prophet Haggai said during a time of great shaking. To protect your retirement, I recommend that you diversify your 401k or IRA right out of paper assets and into physical gold. And the best way to do that is with Gold IRA from the Birch Gold Group. I want you to text the words FAITH, F-A-I-T-H, to 989898 and get a free info kit on Gold IRAs. There's no strings attached to this, so just text FAITH, F-A-I-T-H, to 989898 and see what I've discovered here about gold and its ability to stabilize your investment and create a storage of wealth for you in unsteady time.
Myanmar's ruling military council says it is releasing more than 2,100 political prisoners as a humanitarian gesture.
State-run MRTV television says that the head of the military government has pardoned 2,153 prisoners on the most important Buddhist holy day of the year. All the prisoners granted pardon are reported to have been convicted under a section of Myanmar's penal code that makes it a crime to spread comments that create public unrest or fear and carries a penalty of up to 3 years in prison. Thousands more remain imprisoned on charges generally involving non-violent protests or criticism of military rule. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Vapors from some sort of gas leak at a school in southwest Germany have sickened about 70 people, students and teachers, forcing evacuation of the building. No word on whether it was a leak or a spill. News and analysis, townhall.com. A tearful appeal to Americans from the family of a bride killed on her wedding night. The grieving relatives urging people not to drink and drive.
34-year-old Samantha Miller died Friday in Folly Beach, South Carolina. Her sister, Mandy Jenkins, said she can't forgive the drunk driver.
Because she made a terrible mistake that has changed our lives and a lot of lives forever.
And she urges others not to make the same mistake.
So bringing awareness to what drunk driving can really do. We're a real family from us. Like,
one bad decision just affected so many people.
I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Ukrainian President Zelensky in Helsinki, a one-day Nordic summit involving Finland and Sweden, Norway, Denmark, and Iceland. More on these stories, townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Well, good morning. This is Sue McClain from the Sue McClain News Hour, filling in for Carl and Linda Bott during Free Fire Radio. Thank you for joining us on 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com. And this morning, it looks like it's mostly cloudy. Let's check in with Liam with your official weather forecast. Good morning, Liam.
Good morning.
Okay, so what's our forecast look
like
today?
So yeah, today we're going to have a high of 69, a 30% chance of rain. This evening, a low of 49. Rain is going to continue through Sunday night. The rest of the week, we will be in the mid to high 60s and the high 40s to low 50s.
Currently, what's the temperature outside?
50 degrees.
Perfect. Hey, that was wonderful. You should do this for a living.
I can try.
Once again, thanks for joining me, Sue McClain. And this morning, we had Kevin Cry in for an hour, and now we're welcoming Captain Brian Cole from the Reading Police Department. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
I hope you don't mind the little pink mic this morning.
No, not at all.
If you want to pull it down close to you, you are more than welcome. Just get comfortable.
Not my first rodeo in here.
Okay. Well, thanks for joining me, and once again, filling in for Carl and Linda Bott. Now, Captain Cole, you were from the Reading Police Department, and there's lots of things happening with RPD. I see you have a lot of new hires, and you're very present in the community. I drove through Reading the other day, and you guys are, like, out there in full force.
Yeah, we are definitely trying, wrapping up Cool April Nights last week, which was a huge success, but that is...
How'd that go?
From our perspective, it went very well. I haven't talked to the Cool April Nights folks to see what the final count was on how many vehicles were in the crews, but, you know, all the events were... busy, people were out, the weather was nice, it didn't rain during Cool April Nights, which is always a plus. You definitely saw our officers and our staff out. We had everybody working. It's kind of all hands on deck during Cool April Nights, but it's such a great event and lots of community support, and then people come from all over the Western United States for that. So
They do. People come from all over the world, you know, for that. And we've got the Reading Rodeo coming up, Rodeo Week activities, and I know you guys will be present, and gals, during that event as well. So are you already, like, do you already have that all planned out? How are you
going
to respond?
Yeah, we are. April and May is that kind of our crazy time of year, because we were planning for Cool April Nights, and we turn around, we roll right back into the rodeo, which is, you know, a huge event for us. So, yep, we're already in the planning phase, been communicating. Our staff has been working on it basically for most of the spring. And kind of exciting this year, our chief, it was proposed to him to allow our officers to wear cowboy hats for the 75th you know, holding of the rodeo. And so he's authorized that. So you may actually see some of our officers out there in cowboy hats for
the first time. I love it. You should. Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, doing something nice for the staff and just a little camaraderie amongst the troops, so to speak. So that's good.
Wonderful.
But yeah, staffing wise, I always like to come on and kind of let the community know where their police department's at, how we're looking. I'm the field operations captain, and the field operations division has about 70% of our staff in it. That's basically everything that you see out on the streets of Reading on any given day. And so we are actually authorized 122 sworn police officers, which is the largest we've ever been. So we've now grown back and exceeded where we were in 2008 before the recession. We really only have four vacancies right now. We're actually interviewing some lateral officers today. We have three retirements coming later in the year, and we have three in our field training program and seven in the academies. And so we're operating with about 110 officers that are out on the streets or working in detectives, which is great for us. So what that does for the police department and the community is it enables us to have a lot of resources that we didn't have before. So going into Memorial Day weekend, which is coming up, we're planning on adding our last two members to our downtown bike team. So our downtown bike team will be four officers, coverage 6 days a week. Our crisis intervention response team, which is the plainclothes officers that deal with a lot of our mental health related calls for service, they're now up to four. They're spread across 6 days a week. And our park rangers, which are out in our parks, our river trail, all that, are now 6 days a week.
And a lot of people don't know park rangers are officers.
They are.
People don't view them. They're like, oh, he's just a guy in a uniform. He's not really like, he can't tell. No. Yeah, he's an officer. They can arrest you and put you in jail.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
So be aware of that. And, you know, they're looking to help you. That's why they're there. And if someone is breaking a law, they're going to, you know, address that. So don't
For
be
sure.
surprised if you encounter a park ranger. They're official. It's not just a costume.
Yeah, any given day they could jump into a regular marked police car and work a beat and handle calls for service. But we have them out there. Really what we want is our citizens to feel safe in the parks, in the river trails. And so we're trying to have them interacting with the community as much as possible in those areas and just be a presence and deal with issues that are popping up in our parks. And pretty exciting with them. So this is the first time ever at the Reading Police Department. But we actually, we now have, they are able, they're part of our boating unit. And so 1 to 2 days a week, the park rangers, they're all boating certified. We have a boat now, and we are out patrolling the Sacramento River. So, and that's twofold. One, we want a presence to make sure people are being safe on the river.
Mm-hmm.
But also, we want to address some of the illegal encampments, the trash, the dumping issues that we're dealing with. And so they can give us a ground level view or a water's view, so to speak, of what's going along along the riverbanks.
And it's so important. The Reading Police Department has pulled out tons of trash.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's from the same location. There's certain areas of Reading that just keep attracting. It's the same people, it seems. And then there's tons of trash. And you clean it up, and then it's just right back.
Yeah.
How do you handle that? That's got to be difficult because it takes time away from, you know, other things where officers could be doing something else more positive for the community. And I think that is, you know, dealing with the homeless on a daily basis. And do you notice that you deal with the same people over and over again, or is it different? Because I read a story recently about a criminal from Alabama who moved here last November and was arrested three times for car theft, and then a total, I think, six times since he moved here. And just seeing that, you know, constant flow of, you know, the same individuals, you know, what do you do? Because you can only do so much as an officer.
For sure. Yeah, you touched on a couple issues there, so I'll try and check them off. The community cleanup team that we have, we call them CWPOs, right? They are really kind of our unsung heroes. They're behind the scenes picking up work release inmates every day, going out identifying these illegal encampments, doing cleanups, and it's really Groundhog Day for them. And they are moving from location to location to try and keep the city of Reading clean. And if it wasn't for them, our city would look very different and people would be extremely frustrated. But they work really hard to pick up trash. In the other day, I believe we picked up about 15,000 pounds just along the waterways of the Sacramento River. So they're out doing that work every single day, identifying illegal encampments, tagging them. And that definitely becomes an issue as we get into fire season.
Mm-hmm.
But the homeless issue is very complex. It's not going away. It's not just a Shasta County issue. It is a state of California as well as a West Coast issue. And so the city of Reading has been working hard. You know, some people don't necessarily agree with the philosophy, but we are trying to find housing for individuals. Our crisis intervention response team is constantly doing outreach to try and get people connected with resources. It helps the individual, but two, it also helps us too. If we're going to the same calls for service, if you're a patrol officer and you deal with the same individual day after day after day, right, that is a resource time consumption where that officer is not able to get to other calls for service or do proactive policing and deal with the drug dealers and the burglars. And so if we can solve those problems, it helps us out. It helps the community out. But very complex issue.
Okay. Well, I'm going to cut you off there.
Sure.
Because we're going to head into a commercial break. But stick around. I've got Captain Brian Cole from the Reading Police Department talking about issues with, you know, Reading and, you know, the upcoming events that they're responding to. They will be, you know, throughout the city limits patrolling during Reading Rodeo Week. So behave yourselves. And they were out and about during cool April night. So I just want to thank you for your service. And we'll be talking to Captain Brian Cole throughout this hour on KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com. This is Sue McClain filling in for Carl Lindebaugh and Freak Fire Radio on KCNR, the time 8:15.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons, an independent senior living community. I'm excited to share with you an exclusive program we are currently offering at River Commons called our Moderate Income Program. This is an in-house program offered by Raystone Senior Living. Those who financially qualify for this program will receive a reduced monthly rate. This rate still includes all of our regular services and amenities. Included in the monthly rent are 3 chef-prepared meals daily, weekly housekeeping and linen services, scheduled transportation, activities, utilities, cable TV, and emergency medical pendant, and more. Our community also has a very friendly family feel, all set on beautiful grounds with scenic views. To learn more about our moderate income program, schedule a tour, or lunch plus a tour, please give us a call at 530-221-2121. You can also visit us on our web at river-commons.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Hi friends, RC with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Esteban Carreras Chupacabra, 10th anniversary. A medium to full-bodied gem. The 10th anniversary comes wrapped in an oily San Andres leaf. Nicaraguan filler and binder round out a beautiful, complex smoke. With notes of cocoa, pepper, nuts, and earth. Get yours today, Tobacco and Brew. Reading, California.
Years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Gold Leaf Nursery is back open and stocked up. Gold Leaf Nursery wants to help you grow your own eatable grocery. Begin with the sweet taste of fresh fruit from fruit trees, blueberries, and strawberry plants. And now start preparing your garden. We have a huge selection of vegetable and herb plants, including flavor-filled heirloom varieties you can't find at the store. And we know a thing or two about this because we've been growing veggies since 1975. Spring has sprung, and it's time to add color to your landscape. The nursery is blooming with azaleas, clematis, phlox, candy tuft, perennials, and annuals. So saturate your landscape with color. Add yet another dimension to your landscape with statuary. We just received our new statuary order. Several different bird baths, fountains, and stepping stones. Come by and check us out at 6186 Churn Creek Road, a quarter mile from Airport Road. We're open Tuesday through Saturday.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460 online at KCNR1460.com. Good morning. This is Sue McLean. Welcome if you're just tuning in. I'm filling in this morning for Carl and Linda Bott for Free Fire Radio. Glad you could join me this morning. The time is 8:19 this morning. It's going to be mostly cloudy, then hopefully sunny by this afternoon. Cross your fingers, but it looks like rain off and on throughout the week, so just be prepared if you are heading out and about. Speaking of being prepared, Captain Brian Cole is with me this morning from the Reading Police Department, always prepared for, you know, any situation that may arise. Thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah, thank you.
And we've been talking with Brian for quite some time this morning, and we discussed a little bit earlier about, criminals that are repeat offenders that, they have to deal with on a daily basis. We talked about refuse being removed, tons of trash. And, you know, there's a lot of good things, though, because we're going to talk about recruiting a little bit later on.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we also, I want to talk about how you deal with the same people breaking laws that come from, like, somewhere else, come in here, and they're like, you know what, I think I'm going to steal a car. Not me, but I'm just saying they.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that?
It's very frustrating. I think we're fortunate right now. We've hired about 60 police officers over the course of the last 3 years, so we have a very new, energetic, hungry staff that is very much focused on, you know, enforcing the laws and protecting the community and targeting individuals like this from Alabama that are victimizing our citizens. So that's a plus for us right now. But it is a leadership challenge when you are dealing with having to arrest the same individuals every single week and seeing the book and the release and the failure really of the system from my personal perspective, from the state level down. And some people may disagree with that, but, you know, I've been in law enforcement 17 years, and what I have seen over the course of the last 10 years in particular is basically an attack on law enforcement and trying to take away more and more tools from us. The shutdown of prisons, prison realignment, the changing of laws, the changing of sentencing guidelines. So let's talk about this individual, right? It used to be that if you committed a car theft, you were eligible to go to prison. There are certain circumstances where you still can go to prison for stealing cars, but those are very it doesn't happen a whole lot. The majority of the time when somebody commits a crime like this, they're sentenced to local county time as opposed to state prison. And that's great if you have room in your local county jail, but we do not have room in our local county jail. And so the state is pushing all of this responsibility down on the counties. And really, for Sheriff Johnson and his staff, he's now being tasked with basically running a prison at the county level in dealing with all of these challenges. And that's difficult for a small county like Shasta to deal with. And so that is why you are seeing individuals like this one that we did a social media post on. And I think you mentioned that we had arrested him 6 times. That's actually from earlier last week. We arrested him on Saturday in another stolen car.
Oh, my goodness. This guy's from Alabama. He's a homeless man who came to the area. He's been arrested, okay, say, maybe eight times.
Seven or eight times.
And this is in a vehicle. Yeah. So when there's a vehicle theft, there's certain protocols that you have to do when you come across potential vehicle theft. How does that work?
Yeah, so we generally refer to them as high-risk stops, and you may see that sometimes where our officers have their guns drawn and are ordering the person out of the vehicle. And the reason behind that is when someone is behind the wheel of a vehicle, maybe under the influence of drugs or alcohol, often under drugs with our drug problems that we have. May have firearms on them, may have weapons in the car. The car itself could be a weapon, right? That's the reason that we do a high-risk stop like that and order them out and drop them down to their knees and then handcuff them and then clear the vehicle. So that's kind of the process for that. That's for the safety of our staff as well as for citizens if that individual decides to try and start ramming vehicles or...
Or an officer. You know, many correct. Officers get injured or, you know, even become deceased because they're hit by a vehicle due to a felon trying to evade capture. And those things do happen.
For sure. So the challenge with this book and release right now is so the Shasta County sheriff, you know, due to major staffing issues, he had to close, you know, approximately a third of the jail. And so we have 80 to 85 beds right now that they're not capable of putting anyone in because they don't have the staffing for it. And so Sheriff Johnson and his, I know that's been one of his top priorities is getting that jail reopened, but it is hard to attract people to apply for that correctional officer position. You are going in there, you are dealing with the most violent of the violent because your property crime offenders are mostly all out on the street. And these are people really that should be incarcerated in state prisons that are now in a county jail. And, you know, so you have your correctional officers. It's a great way to get started in law enforcement, but it's a very challenging job. And so it's challenging for the sheriff to fill those positions.
Right.
And I know that he continues to work at that. His staff continues to work at that. But for his officers or his deputies and our officers and the Anderson Police Department, you know, the vast majority of the times when we take someone to the Shasta County Jail, they are booked and released typically the same day. We have one vehicle thief that has been arrested in 11 stolen cars and has been booked and released. And that is super frustrating for us. We have drug dealers that we are arresting, people that are dealing fentanyl on the streets of Redding, and they are booked and released from the Shasta County Jail because there is not room to hold them. And that's a terrible position for the jail staff to be forced to have to choose. Do I hold this person or do I hold this person when they know that they have to release one?
And a lot of times, people don't know this, there are murderers sitting in the jail. You don't know it. I mean, you know, you've heard it, you've heard the news. Yeah. But they could be sitting there waiting, and it's kind of when I went through, the best thing you can do, if you want to find out more about how the Shasta County Jail works, take a tour, call and see if there's an availability to see firsthand, you know, how it works and walk through and find out, you know, because there's so much pressure, and it's kind of like, oh, here's a bad person over here, oh, here's worse. And it's, you know, throw the balls up, catch the first one, and that's the one you keep. And to be able to discern which one to keep and which one to let go. And now it just seems like we're seeing the constant, you know, revolving door. But it doesn't mean officers are doing less of a job. It means their job is now harder because they still have to enforce the law. And if you see an officer, as I reported, as we talked about earlier, the Rangers, they're officers. And they're working, and especially because this area is an outdoors community.
For sure.
You go, and you will encounter quite a few people, including the homeless that are out, you know, and they're camping, and then RPD comes along, or the Rangers, and they have to deal with that, and they have to deal with the refuse. They have to deal with needles. They have to deal with possible guns and arsonists. Now, and to turn around if something happens and they have to grab all these officers because you need now the SWAT team involved, you know, because you've got someone that's dangerous, a domestic that just turned bad. They have to respond to that or a possible, okay, you know, a pipe bomb. Everything shuts down and everybody responds. And I see all of this and I'm thinking, your job is so difficult. How can you get up every morning, you get dressed, because you face so much pressure. But up here, there's a difference between a lot of other communities because we love our officers. People love our officers.
And for sure.
People are applying here as well to work for RPD because it's such a beautiful area. And whenever there's, you know, a Thin Blue Line event, people will line up. People will donate money. People are like, hey, let me buy you lunch. I can't tell you how many times I've bought lunch for an officer just because I'm like, it's a thank you. It's a small thank you.
Yeah.
And that's you're so greatly appreciated, and I don't think you hear it enough.
Yeah, well, that's great to hear. Thank you very much. And I think our staff does feel that. To back up just a second, our message to our officers and to our staff has been that we're going to continue to do our job, and we can't control certain things that are, you know, that the state does or budgetary issues. But we're going to go out, we're going to enforce laws, we're going to try and take care of our citizens and keep our community as safe as possible. So we do that. A huge recruiting tool for us is the community here, right? You can work in the Bay Area and drive an hour and a half to work every day and work in a community that really you have no investment in other than that's where you get your paycheck. But here, you know, our staff all lives here. They're raising their children here. Many of them grew up here. Their grandparents are here, brothers, sisters. And so there is a buy-in to being a police officer here. And that is our big recruiting tool, is that when you come here, the community still loves police officers in
Absolutely.
Reading. They support us, and I know our staff feels that. I feel that, and so thank you.
Good, good. Hey, we've got Terry on the line. Terry, we've got to make it short because we're going into commercial break. How are you? Thank you for calling.
I didn't even have time to ask a question.
Yeah, you do. Go ahead.
Okay. First of all, I mean, with AB 47 and AB 109, I mean, your job is just really difficult. There's never going to be enough policemen, no matter what we do, never enough law enforcement. And I, you know, one of the things I think that needs to be done is we really do need to get that floor opened up in the jail. I did want to say this. It used to be a rotating basis for sheriff deputies, that they would go in and spend some time, a day a week, something like that, in the jail. It isn't a matter of money as far as the jail goes. It's a matter of the, as you said, and rightly so, the work environment is terrible there. I mean, you'd have to pay me a lot of money to want to do that job, and I'm sure that's the way a lot of people feel. So they used to have a rotational basis. Maybe that is an answer. And I wanted to hear your thoughts on that, and then I had one more quick question. I don't think I'm going to be able to get it in. It's 8:30.
Oh, that's okay, Terry. We'll keep going if you need to.
Okay.
Because I want to hear that other question as well, so you want to address
okay.
that one?
Okay. The other thing, and really, Sue's right. You guys do a really good job, and the presence on the street is it's really good. It's getting so much better. And again, the difficulty of this for you guys, I mean, the frustration of the rubber band with the repeat offenders from the street to the jail, I talked to one officer. I think that in the interim of talking to him, it was like 15 minutes that person was in and out of there. And it's just, it's an impossibility until we get some things wrapped around this. One more quick thing. I want to know what you think about the neighborhood watches are not able to do what they can do. Because in a neighborhood watch, your job is to call the police when you have an issue. I think we have to do more like Cottonwood is doing and many other communities, and that's a community watch, where there's a little more teeth into that. And there are legal things that can be done by citizens, because right now we could have 100 more policemen doing their job as great as RPD does, probably, I think, the best in California. And it's still not going to be enough or nearly enough, because California keeps throwing a law at us every 5 minutes that prevents our law enforcement officers to do their job. So I just kind of like to hear your thoughts on that.
Yes. So first of all, on the jail issue, you know, I don't want to speak too much for the sheriff's office, but I do know from having a relationship with, you know, the captain that runs the jail and speaking with the sheriff, that they do try and balance that. That going in and working and starting your career in the jail is a great experience if you want to get into law enforcement, because you learn a lot of the verbiage, you learn a lot of the criminal behavior, you learn, you know, how to search, how to control compliance, how to talk to people, which really is one of the biggest challenges in getting in law enforcement. So I know they try and balance that, and so, you know, Sheriff Johnson has to balance staffing people in the jail as well as still staffing his patrol response out on the streets. Otherwise, I would defer to the sheriff on, you know, the more specifics on that. But yes, they do still try and start people in the jail and then eventually transition them out onto the street. I know that. I appreciate all the compliments you're giving us. I am very proud of our our police force here. I do think that we're a unique police department in California. I think that we are one of a handful of agencies left that truly does focus on proactive enforcement. While a lot of agencies, you know, have talked to people down south in leadership positions, and they will tell you they are purely reactive. They are telling their officers to wait till calls for service come in and respond to calls. We do not want to be that type of agency. We want to attack issues before they become calls for service. The community involvement is extremely important. Communication is really important, I think, between the neighborhoods, and I would definitely encourage people, if they use that Nextdoor app or, you know, they're paying attention to some of the social media platforms that are out there regarding crime in Reading. But the more you can communicate with your neighbors and kind of have a presence in your neighborhood, probably the better off your neighborhood's going to be. So,
excellent. Hey, Terry, thank you so much for calling. You have a great day, okay?
You bet. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry.
Bye-bye. Hey, we're going to go to a break. Once again, this is Sue McClain filling in for Carl and Linda Bott this morning, and we do have Captain Brian Cole with us this morning from the Reading Police Department. So stay tuned. We'll talk more with Captain Cole coming up on KCNR 96.5 FM AM 1460. And check us out online at kcnr1460.com.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Each year, millions of older adults suffer injuries from a fall. One out of five falls results in life-threatening injuries, such as broken bones or head trauma. Many falls are preventable. PSA 2 Area Agency on Aging announces the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program, funded by the California Department of Aging. This no-cost program's mission is to reduce the number of debilitating falls suffered at home by older adults and persons with disabilities. If you are 60 and older, or persons with disabilities of any age residing in Lassen, Modoc, Shasta, Siskiyou, or Trinity counties and are at risk of falling or being institutionalized, this program may be able to help. The Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program enables older adults and persons with disabilities to live independently and safely in their home environment for as long as possible. Contact PSA 2 Area Agency on Aging at 842-1687. That's 842-1687 to learn more about the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Here's a little jingle from the Thule Kids.
You can play it, you can pause it, you can skip it, you can stop it with a hop. When the hop takes over your commercials, a hop with the hop. Where the apps are the coolest and the music is the smoothest with the hop. All the cats and chicks can get their kids with the hop. Let's go!
Thank you for calling B&T Satellite at 241-3474. That's 241-DISH.
Hi, this is Doug Tooley. Are you missing Newsmax? Call me because I make TV easy and I can get it back for you. My phone number is 241-3474. In case you didn't hear that, that's 530-241-3474. Or visit us at 1007 Dana Drive, Reading, California. Check us out on the internet at btsatellite.com. Shasta County's only DISH Premier Retailer. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Hey there, Marty Mosley here from Mosley Family Cellars. Mimi and I have moved our tasting room back downtown to the corner of Pine and Butte Street across from Corbett's and the Reading Chamber of Commerce. We're open Wednesdays through Sundays from 3 to 7 p.m. and Fridays till 9 p.m. While you're here, enjoy food from the Hearth Kitchen and Pie Shop and munch on some delicious handmade chocolates by Nanette de Chocolate. Come on down and enjoy life with us, Mosley Family Cellars at the historic Thompson House. Come as guests and leave as family.
KCNR 96.5 FM, online at KCNR1460.com and at AM1460. Hi there, this is Sue McClain in for Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio this morning. They will be back next week. Tune in. In the meantime, once again, thanks for joining me. The time is 8:38, and this morning I have Captain Brian Cole from the Reading Police Department in. He's been talking about RPD, of course, throughout the morning. And we've talked about the jail and, you know, repeat offenders. But there's so many things that are happening now in law enforcement that people aren't truly aware of. Now, there's something the state is trying to remove. It's canines. What are they doing? I mean, personally, I'm like, are you kidding me? They're such an integral part of being a part of law enforcement.
Yeah.
I mean, they work.
They do. A canine, you know, I know this community really loves our canines, our canine program. We have six dogs in our program. As a matter of fact, we just had our newest canine handler come back from school, and we're going to be certifying his dog today and putting it out on the street here, hopefully tomorrow or the day after. But yeah, the canines are a great tool. The state of California wants, there's currently a bill that's moving through the committee process. And that bill is aimed at targeting using canines for apprehension. So basically, canines no longer can be deployed to apprehend or bite people in the apprehension process. And the problem with that from my perspective, right, and from a lot of law enforcement people's perspective is if you take another tool away from officers that helps keep them safe, right, we use those canines to deploy them into green belt areas when we're chasing someone that may be hiding in brush, someone that may be armed with weapons, and you force officers then to have to go in there and go hands on themselves. The likelihood that the suspect's going to get hurt or the use of force is going to escalate or an officer is going to get hurt or killed, in my opinion, increases dramatically. So the canines, just their presence, we will get compliance from individuals that see the dog show up on scene. They hear the dog bark. They see the dog on the leash, and they realize that if they're not compliant, right, that they're going to be dealing with the canine here in a matter of seconds. We'll get compliance from them, and we can sometimes put people in handcuffs without any use of force. So great tool for us. We do not want to see that eliminated, but basically they don't want us to. The state is trying to remove it as a way to apprehend offenders.
Ugh. Okay. Well, you can tell I'm disgusted with that. I am. I can't help it.
Yeah, it still has a long way to go.
It does, but the fact is somebody came up with this and said, oh, you know what? That works. And but, you know, it just seems like more and more the laws are being favored towards the criminal, no longer law enforcement. Like, and I just don't quite understand that. And it's, yeah, you know, it's hard because I come from a family that's been pro-law enforcement. My uncle was a marshal. My dad was a deputy at one time. There's other members of my family in law enforcement. And it's hard for me to see that they're whittling away the abilities of officers. Is there anything else that's on the books that they're trying to do that we're
– there's a bunch of other ones. Okay. But the other big one that I'll mention is related to traffic enforcement stops. And so – traffic enforcement stops for officers a lot of times are a tool to dig deeper into criminal activity. And so low-level traffic stops for not using your blinker or for registration issues or a cracked windshield, those sorts of things can be a tool for officers. The officer sees a vehicle coming out of a high crime area, you know, a suspicious vehicle at a certain time of night. They make a traffic enforcement stop because they have probable cause or reasonable suspicion based on, you know, a violation that they see in their presence. A great example is that of that is some of the work that one of our officers did last night. Stopped a vehicle for a vehicle code violation and then started digging into it and found the vehicle full of guns and ammunition that were stolen from a burglary. That's what we want our officers doing. LAPD has basically restricted their staff from making traffic stops unless there's more egregious violations or they're apprehending somebody that they know has committed a crime. And I think it's just another tool that you take away from our officers, and it really inhibits the ability to be proactive. So that is a bill to ban these low-level traffic stops statewide. I think Berkeley PD, I'm not 100% positive, and LAPD are the two agencies that have stopped doing it right now. And so they are kind of being used as the prop up for why this is a better way of doing policing, because there's less use of force issues, right? You can manipulate stats however you want. Yeah, you can say crime's gone down or there's less use of force. Well, if you're not out, proactively trying to arrest people that are victimizing your community, sure, numbers are going to go down because you're not doing your job anymore. And we've talked with lateral officers from the LA Police Department, and it's deflating for them as an agency to have to deal with that, to drive by people that they know need police attention, but they can't stop them anymore.
Wonderful. Thank you for that insight, because a lot of people, okay, so they watch the TV show The Rookie and they think, well, that's real. That really, you know, there's some things that do happen, but remember, it's a TV show. Real life is a whole lot different. And if you don't have the availability of, you know, a canine unit to keep you safe and the other abilities to keep officers safe and to get out there and fight crime and continuously not be discouraged, because I imagine it can be discouraging. Once again, this is Sue McClain along with Captain Brian Cole with the Reading Police Department. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be right back on KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com. I'm filling in for Carl and Linda Botts on Free Fire Radio.
Hi, this is Cindy at Lauch Landscape Supply. The sun is out just in time for our spring sale and your chance to save big on your home improvements. May 5th through the 14th, Triple 15 fertilizer is on sale for only $29.99 for a 50-pound bag. Have you tried our Garden Power soil yet? It will be only $51.99 a yard. 3/4-inch Cascade Rock is on sale for only $39.99 a yard. Been considering a pond? All products to build your new water feature will be 15% off. Pool sand for your above-ground pool is now only $31 a yard. Installing new or replacing your existing sod? Lauch Landscape Supply will build a package customized with the right soils, sod, and fertilizer to make your yard the envy of the neighborhood, all while at sale prices. Whether you pick up or we deliver, we have the tools and the equipment to take you through your project from start to finish. The spring sale at Lauch Landscape Supply is May 5th through the 14th. Check us out on the web at lauchlandscapesupply.com. Give us a call at 378-2220 or just come see us at the intersection of Dersh, Churn Creek, and Airport Road. Lauch Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Reading, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson, and find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300
a reputation for excellence since 1965.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Hey, Redding, what's better than an ooey-gooey cheesy sandwich? How about five different ooey-gooey cheesy sandwiches? Black Bear Diner just launched their limited-time ooey-gooey cheesy choices that'll cover you for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Come on in and try one of those delicious sandwiches today.
Black Bear Diner.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com. Hello there, and welcome to the show. If you're just tuning in, this is Sue McClain filling in for Carl and Linda Bott. Hopefully you've been with us these last 2 hours. It's been quite interesting. I had Kevin Cry on from 7 to 8, and Captain Brian Cole from the Reading Police Department still with me. He's going to be with me for about another 12 minutes or so. And we're touching on a variety of topics when it comes to RPD. We'll talk briefly about parking and body cameras. Tell me about body cameras.
Sure, absolutely. I want to back up 1 second just to how we opened. I forgot to mention that actually on Sunday, we started a new rotation at the police department. And so we added an additional officer to every single shift throughout the city. So I think that's important to note that we have one more cop out there, and that's our hiring success. Our admin team's been working hard to hire officers for us. So
wonderful. And I have seen you. You've made quite a presence. Lately, it just seemed like there were so many officers out and about, and because, you know, we did have cool April nights, but there are a lot of officers on the beat these days. And we've seen officers on bikes. You hired more officers on bikes.
Yep.
Now, do they have to be in great shape to do that, or is it electric? I want to know, are they electric bikes?
They are electric bikes, but yeah, if they're not in great shape, they're going to end up in great shape because they're out there, they are pedaling around and they're riding in the heat. They're out there during the summer. We try not to kill them, you know, so we will, we'll let them jump in cars. We'll let them jump on, some of our all-terrain motorcycles as well to patrol the river trails. But their primary job is to be out on a bicycle the
and
majority
you've
of the time.
Motorcycle police, you've got vehicles, yeah. And you've got the body cameras.
Yes, so we have been – this was approved by City Council early last year. It's been a work in progress. We're in the demo phase, so we are now trying out our third vendor for body cameras to select a body camera system that we're going to go with, a company that we're going to go with. We're going to be wrapping up our trial phase here probably by the end of May, and then we'll work out contracts. We'll work out implementation department-wide. And so we're ballparking July or August will be the time frame where we'll flip that switch where we will have a body camera on any of our enforcement staff that is out in the field on a day-to-day basis. And there's a lot of benefits to that. One, we want to make sure our officers are doing their job and being professional. And so if there is misconduct, it helps us identify that. But two, it also protects our staff because we do deal with frivolous or false complaints. Often we have to investigate them, look into them, and it gives us the ability to very quickly go look at the body camera footage. And if someone's making a complaint, we can tell if they're being truthful or dishonest with us. So it goes both ways. So yeah, that will be live hopefully July or August.
That's good news. Good news. And fire season is upon us. I mean, it's edging closer. We're still seeing some rain, but things are going to dry out. I mean, we've had so much rain. It will dry out.
Yeah.
And how is RPD involved, you know, because you have the firefighters also, but RPD is very present when fires occur.
Yeah, for sure. We actually have a fire meeting planned next week with several agencies. We all get together and kind of just go over strategy for fire season and how we're going to address that. We've added some tools over the years for our staff. So when we have fires that break out on, you know, the outskirts or some of the green belts surrounding Reading, or if we're sending resources, a lot of time we call it mutual aid, where an agent, a county like Trinity County or Siskiyou that doesn't have a lot of staff may call for assistance. We've put fire shelters in all of our vehicles. We've trained our staff on the use of fire shelters in the event they're down a road and their vehicle gets trapped and they have to try and hike out. They can take a fire shelter with them as a you know, last resort if they get swept over by fire. We're deploying our staff with chainsaws, electric chainsaws, in the back of their vehicles so that if they do get trapped trying to do evacuations, they can cut their way out potentially and get their vehicles out. So we're just trying to, and we do have a good relationship with the Reading Fire Department, so they give some additional training to our staff just on stuff to be aware of. But, yeah, we kind of ramp up, I would say, late May. For fire season every single year. This community obviously is very sensitive to that after the car fire, and we're hoping that it's a good fire season, you know, with all the rain that we've had.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how it goes, but we'll be ready.
And I have a question too. Parking. Downtown parking.
Sure, you're going to get me with
lots of folks are going to be super cheery.
You're going to get me with a good parking. One on the way out the door.
A lot of people are wondering, how does the parking... Okay. Go downtown, look, go to one of those little black boxes and read it, number one. It's pretty simple, follow the instructions. However, you know, do you ticket? Do they just bill their credit card? Do you have a parking attendant that actually drives around and tickets people?
We do. So when the city made the decision that they were going to implement the downtown parking, we obviously are the enforcement mechanism of that. But we started with several months of warnings to everybody for the areas that are now charging for parking. I believe it's $1 an hour. And there are, I've heard the arguments both ways, you know, in support of the parking, against the parking. But that's where we're at. Those were the decisions that were made, and Reading is growing as a city, and this is becoming pretty normal in most cities our size across California, that there's some sort of fee for parking. And I think it coincides with the fact that you're seeing all this infrastructure, all this building, all this development downtown. And so downtown Reading really is growing. But, yeah, it's pretty simple. You download an app on your phone, and you can just pay, like for anything else, like you do for your Dutch Bros coffee or anything else. For your parking for the day, you can go to they call them pay stations. There are instructions there. There's instructions on the City of Reading website, I believe, as well on how to do it. We do have a parking enforcement officer out. He uses a lot of good discretion, but, you know, at the end of the day, if your meter is, expired, that is his job, is to enforce that. But in particular, he targets areas where there are, fire hydrants, disabled parking, and egregious parking. But he's out there every single day. And
does he paper ticket, or is it? Do you get it in the mail, or you get it online? How does that work?
Yeah, it's basically going to be an electronic printout. So he'll have the ability. He has equipment on his vehicle that he can drive by, and it will notify him if a car is expired.
Okay.
And so,
quick question. I'm going to interrupt you because I want to know: do you get a paper ticket?
You'll get something. Yes, you will get something on your windshield.
Okay. I wanted to know, because if it's just going to be in the mail or online, I'm thinking, yeah. Okay.
I got one once, so I can testify.
Okay. Well, you did.
It's a printout.
Okay,
yeah,
it'll
print it right out.
I'm so sorry.
For him. And, so.
Yeah, okay. Because I didn't know, and I thought, they have to notify you if you get a ticket, but I wondered if it was a paper ticket.
Yep. You should get instant notification of it when you come out. You'll see it there. So you asked me during the break, do you tow cars? Really, the last thing we want to do is tow some citizen's car, and they come out of shopping, you know, or from work, and their car is gone. So towing would be a last resort. That would probably be for someone that is routinely continuing to acquire ticket after ticket, day after day. If we're seeing the same vehicle there, then we might take steps for that. But really, we give a lot of warnings and issue minor citations.
Perfect. Hey, how about a couple stats? Don't you have a couple of stats to talk about, like what's going on actually with RPD?
Sure. Yeah, I can talk to you about property crime. Let me pull it back up here. Property crime and violent crime stats. We take a look at all of that.
Uh-huh.
So we have seen, I don't want to end on a negative, but we have seen an increase in our property-related crime. Primarily, we look at burglary, larceny, which is theft or grand theft, and vehicle theft, which we were talking about earlier. And so burglary is up about 17% from 2021. 2020 was kind of a strange year, and there may have been some carryover into 2021 with COVID. But burglary is up about 17%. Theft is up about 30%, which is pretty significant. And our vehicle theft is up about 5.5% from last year. So we had, and I can pull it up, we had 523 stolen cars reported in Reading last year. So Alabama's probably responsible for a dozen of them.
Okay, there you have it. There you have it, that revolving door. So, once again, you're addressing those issues on a daily basis, and I see with how many hires you have that those figures, I personally believe those will go down.
We hope so. We're trying to always find creative ways to do enforcement and hold people accountable. I will say on a positive, that our violent crime, which is homicide, rape, robbery, aggravated assault, for the most part, has gone down. Our sexual assault is down about 23%, which is huge. Homicide, we have so few homicides here. It's generally between 1 and 5 in any given year. So you'll see a dramatic change in percentages just based on if you have 2 versus 4, on any given year. But, the aggravated assault, we pay attention to, but overall violent crime is looking better. Property crimes, has been a challenge for us.
I bet. And school shootings have become, rather.
Oh, great. I'm glad you brought that up.
And so we may end up going over a minute or two, but
sure.
What's going on there?
Real quickly. So we have done multiple active shooter trainings. We're actually going to do a third one department-wide, which we'll be training with other agencies in June. And our school resource officers, great tool for us. We have 5 school resource officers spread throughout the school districts. And we've worked with Rotary and the Asphalt Cowboys, and we are going to have shields, rifle-rated shields, and breaching equipment and breaching tools in all of our school resource officer cars here shortly. So if there is an incident at a school, right, which is everybody's nightmare, and staff is arriving and officers are arriving, they can go straight to that school resource officer's car. They can get shields. They can get bolt cutters, whatever they need out of there to try and breach doors and get to whoever is the threat. So,
excellent. I'm glad we touched on that. Once again, this is Sue McClain filling in for Carl and Linda Bott on KCNR. Today, I've had Captain Brian Cole from the Reading Police Department as my special guest.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time, your effort, and energy. I will pray for your safety every